This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number two on this Open Line Fun Sunday. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman and producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Good morning, Houston. I'm Austin Mendez.
And if you slept through it last night and haven't heard yet, the Astros won the ALCS. They're going to the World Series.
Yes,
goodness
sir.
Goodness gracious.
Take it back.
Great for H-Town, man. Couldn't be better. All right, let's get back to Lynn Smith and finish up talking with him this morning. All right, Lynn, we're back. Thanks for holding.
You bet, man. I'm kind of ready to start heading to the deer stands. I don't know about you.
Well, but with two fronts this week, it's going to kind of get everybody in that mood, in that mode, you know?
Oh, you know it. You know it. I'm going to try to get down there about that first weekend for sure. And then the first 2 weeks in November, I'll be running crazy between George West and Johnson City, back and forth between two ranches. So I'll be busy.
Yeah, you will.
We got a bunch of wounded warriors we're going to be hunting, and several other hunts, management hunts and such as that. But anyway, we got, I was telling, I think I told you about this last year, we hunted those Green Berets, and I had this one young Green Beret in a stand with me, and a buck came out, a real high horn 10 point, and he was a trophy, you know, and these guys were shooting management deer, and this big high horn 10 walked out about 325 yards walking away. And I said, yeah, so we don't let people shoot at a deer that far. And he smiled and he said, I don't have a problem with that shot.
I bet he did.
I said, I bet you don't. I said, I bet you don't. Yeah. He was a good hand. And about a week later, he went back to Afghanistan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's back now.
Well, that's good. At least he made it back.
Yeah, oh, yeah. But I heard from him a couple of times. He said he's going to come down and go fishing, but I didn't hear back from him to come down, but he said he's going to. He lives in Fredericksburg. But anyway, he said he'd get down and go fishing with me. So he probably will. But anyway, man, yeah, the deer are looking good this year. I talked to a friend of mine that he guides on a ranch out of Tilden, and he said they flew it this week. And he said, boy, it's dry. He said, it's powder dry. But he said they saw a lot of good deer, he said, because they can't hide. You know, it's so dry. Now, the ranch that I got on in George West, we've had a lot of rain. It's real green. So they haven't flown it yet. But we've seen some good deer there. Trail cameras are looking good. We've seen some real good deer on the trail cameras. But this is going to be our last year on that ranch.
Is it?
I've been guiding on that ranch for, I think, 17 years.
Man, what a...
Yeah, they've had that ranch for 19 years.
What, are they selling it?
No, it's an oil company lease, and everybody just got old. And, you know, the guy that owns the oil company, he wanted to just shut his oil company down, he did. And so this is the last year he's going to have on the lease. And it's just a shame because the first year that they had that lease, I think the biggest deer they killed on the place was like a 154. And through the years, feeding protein and management, managing the ranch, I mean, it's amazing what managing the ranch has done, you know, herd-wise. I mean, good grief. I mean, you know, we've killed some 200-class deer now, and you really see some beautiful deer. So it's just a shame, you know, to lose a ranch like that. But anyway, it's been a pleasure to hunt on it, but I just really hate to lose it. But we'll have a good year. We'll have a good year on it this year. And I have a friend that has like three ranches in South Texas, Freer, and he also has a ranch in Johnson City. And so I'll be helping him out some. So that's good. But I'm going to miss that place in George West for sure. Anyway.
Well, that's a shame. A lot of good things come to an end, man. It's part of it. It bites.
Yes, it is. But anyway, hopefully it'll be a good year. It will be a good year. But anyway, I think it'll be a good season. So anyway.
Well, I hate to hear
everything
that.
Comes to an end. Everything
yes,
comes
does.
To an end, you know.
17
but
years.
And, you know, yeah. I mean, one question is, what do you do with all the deer stands and the vehicles and stuff like that, you know? It's a lot of questions, you know. You got a lot of stuff on that ranch that you got to remove. Or sell, I guess, with the next guy that leases the place. So, anyway, the way it goes, a lot of questions to be answered.
All right. Well, Lynn, I hate to hear that, but glad you got the day off. You can rest up after that drama last night. And it just seems like a couple hours ago to me that it happened. But
it is.
Yeah, and it is really theoretically, but late game. I wish they'd start at 6 o'clock our time.
Yep, but I know it.
If somebody wants to come down to Port O'Connor and fish with you, how they get a hold of you, man?
Yeah, they give me 361-935-6833.
You got it. Well, it's always a pleasure, and have a great Sunday, and good luck fishing tomorrow. Hope that weather holds off for you and get your trip in the morning.
I think it will. I think we'll get a half day in for sure.
Gotcha.
So we'll do good. We'll catch those redfish, I know.
All right, man. Well, I'll talk to you next week. Have a good one, Lynn. Thank you. See you, buddy.
All right, Mick. Appreciate it, man. Bye.
All right, take care. All right, that's Captain Lynn Smith in Port O'Connor. Let's go to G-Town now. Let's talk to Captain James Plogg, see what's shaking down his way. Hey, James, what's up, man?
What's up, buddy?
Oh, not a lot. Just recovering from last night. What an awesome event.
I just got through watching it again.
I did, too. It just went off.
It just went off. It was on both.
I had to see that Altuve homer one more time, man.
That's about as good as it gets. It's as good as it gets. That was fun.
That was. That was crazy.
It was great. Well, we got more baseball.
Yeah, we do. Here we go again.
Man, that was awesome, though. Hey, he went after him, man. He didn't back up. He went after him, and he made him pay, brother. Because, like Smoke said, he said, you know, you pitch around him or not walk him, but don't give him nothing to hit. Then you're going to pitch to Marisnik. You know, when you're that as good as he is, you're like, no, man, I'm going to get him. I mean, he didn't.
Well, that was incredible.
He got it all, too, buddy. He got it all. He didn't like that. Wasn't no nibbler. That one was gone.
And he reached outside to get it and yank it over there to left center. I mean, that wasn't down the pipe or inside on him. That was over the outside corner, you know.
No, he can hit anything. Yeah, too, he can hit it. My dad always said, he said, man, he's going to be good. He loved it. Oh, he's still around to see all this. He liked this.
My dad said the same thing about Altuve. He said he's the greatest ball player he's ever watched. You know, him and Pete Rose, those two.
Them old timers, they knew, man.
Yeah, they
knew.
I just
hate that's cool.
I hate old Cullen and Killer didn't live long enough to see all this going on. Golly.
Oh, man, they'd be eating this up, dude. It would be awesome. Hey, this thing got dead slick, man. It's blowing just a little while ago, but it was
dead calm at my house when I left this morning. You know, I had patchy fog everywhere, you know, ground fog and dead calm. And
yeah, no, we had about, I don't know, maybe 10?
Yeah.
Eight to 10? But now it's a zero. It's a
yeah,
solid
when I talked to Glenn, he said he had about 3 miles an hour over his way there by the pass.
Right.
I talked to him at 4 o'clock, so.
It's nice right now, brother.
Maybe it'll be a good start.
It's going to be nice without me. I ain't going.
You're not going today?
No, sir.
Well, you did good yesterday. Y'all stepped it up a notch this week.
Man, fish has been good, Mickey. We've caught them every day, and it ain't, you know, it's not killer, but it's good fishing, you know, and I ain't going by no, oh, we got a 15-fish limit or a 10-fish limit. That's almost like not even going to get out of bed for. But it's actually been good fishing. I mean, we catch, you know, 25 to 30, you know, a few reds, a few flounder.
Right.
And some, I ain't catching very many little ones right now, but I'm not fishing, you know, we're fishing different. I was listening to them the other day. We're fishing a lot of, the tide's so high, we're fishing a lot of these places got little humps on them. And then fishing in the morning to be right on top of them humps. And then they'll fade just a little bit, and then they quit biting, and then you got to wait for that tide to start screaming out, and then I got, you know, a couple places got some little old fish in there. Go fool with them. I think what we catch yesterday, I think we caught 18 or 19 trout, caught a red, caught a couple flounder, and then I hit a school of big reds swimming on top yesterday. It looked like the summertime. And hooked three, broke two off, caught one. I don't think they were all big. I saw some regular ones in there, but the one we caught was about 36 inches. He was nasty. He was trying to get to the Gulf, I guess. But it was dead slick, you know. You'd have never seen him. As soon as it took a while to catch the fish, and I was looking at him. I said, you see him? I said, I still got him right here, man, if you'll catch this fish. And finally got him, took pictures and all that good stuff. And I had just a little bit of ripple. As soon as I got that little bit of ripple, I lost him. I never saw him again. So, but it's been good. But like you said, we get down in the 40s. You know, I think the water temperature was, man, it might have been 74 when I come home yesterday.
Yeah, it's in the mid-70s this morning. So, you know, this warming trend, it came back up a little bit. But once we break on over into it and keep getting these fronts in, we'll stabilize and keep that temperature low, and then fish will be a lot more active.
A lot
better pattern going. Plus, it'll concentrate them better, too.
Because they're still kind of scattered out everywhere.
Yeah, with all this water, they can't help but be, you know. It's just.
I'm looking here this morning at the pier. The tide is not near. Now, hey, yesterday, dude, when I come underneath the building, the bridge, Diggy, it had to be running 4 knots, 5 knots coming out here.
Yeah.
I mean, it was smoking, and it's not near as high this morning. I'm looking at it. I'm a foot less, foot and a half less than yesterday.
Well, we got away from that old east and northeast wind. You know, that was just complimenting the already bulled up tides, you know, with Equinox. And now that it's gone back the other way, that helps keep a lot of that water out of here.
It's not near as high. I looked at the week, man. We don't have a very good week that I saw wind-wise.
It's not looking too good for us. Tell you that.
It ain't looking too good for me.
Wish hunting season was open this week. I'd go do some of that.
Ain't that the truth? Man, and there was a million people yesterday, but you know, no guy, just everybody. It was just a pretty day, and everybody was out. There was a lot of boat riding. It was just, you know, I didn't have no problem with no, you know, where I'm fishing, there ain't no guys. I don't
a lot
see
of
no
picnicking guys. Going on.
Yeah. Everybody was just having a good time, and I don't go on Saturdays. I took a friend of David Brown's, you and I talked about food yesterday.
Right.
I told him, I tried to scare him off. I said, look, man, I don't want to go. I don't want to do this. You don't want to do this. But it ended up being fine. It was a beautiful day.
Yeah,
it was absolutely awesome.
Hey, hang on. Let me do a commercial break. I'll come back to you, brother. Hang
Hi,
with
man.
Me. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 519 in the Bayou City. All right, let's go back to Captain Plog and finish up with him, and we'll move on down the line. And we'll have,
moving on down the line.
Moving on down the line, baby.
Well, I'm sitting here looking. I've seen like two or three redfish down here toward the end of the canal.
Oh, and your lights over there? Yeah.
No, there ain't no lights. Everybody's got like timers, I guess. There's no lights. You can see them on top. It's dead slick.
Oh,
they, nothing
okay.
else makes swirls. Like they're trout. They're 7 pounders. I need to go down there and go to fishing.
Well.
Hey, I talked to one of my old customers, Kelly Irwin, yesterday at the marina. Just heads up, and I'm sure everybody knows it fiddles around over there. But he said, and they did it a couple of years ago too, that you can't get all the way through the Galveston Channel. There's a dredge pipe all the way across it.
Oh, really?
That's what Kelly told me, because he almost ran out of fuel. He had to come back to Pelican to get fuel. He was going to get some fuel at the yacht basin. I think they were going to top water wherever they was going, and
right.
he had to turn around. He said, "Man, I was on fumes."
What part of the Galveston Channel is it in after you turn and cross Campbell's and go into the channel itself that way?
Yeah, I would say I know how Kelly would have run. He'd have run underneath Pelican Island Bridge, so it's laying on that end somewhere.
Okay.
I mean, you can get around it, but you got to go around, go back through Pelican, you know, Sand Island and come back that way.
Yeah, come around the other way.
But
you
got a gap in there somewhere, but Kelly didn't act like it. He almost ran out of fuel not being able to get fuel. So just heads up, anybody going.
Well, that's good info.
So that's about the best
info. That might save somebody from hitting a dredge pipe. Boy, you don't want to hit a dredge pipe. That's not pretty.
Man, that year, that it was longer than that. We had the relentless to scoping it. So we were going marlin fishing. And, man, I rode there about 3 o'clock, and they had that dredge pipe laying in the morning. They had that dredge pipe laying everywhere through there. I don't know what I ended up doing. I couldn't get across it.
No.
I remember that. So that's just what he said. I didn't personally see it, but that's what he said.
Well, what are you going to do today since you're not going to fish?
I'm going to go to the start of this triathlon and watch the swimming over here in Pearland.
Are you? Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the one I was going to do, but I looked at that pond. I said, man, I ain't swimming in that stuff. It's terrible. And I'm not that good anyway. I didn't like it. But I'm going to go watch it. I'm like, man, it's muddy. It's nasty. All these people. If Cameron was here, plucked me out of there, if I got in a bind, I would have done it. But he's gone. He's in Mag Bay catching striped more. I don't know how he left his I have his sat funnel, so I ain't got no way to talk to him. But we'll get some good reports from there when – But they're catching 100, 120, 162 striped marlin a day over there right now.
Where's he at?
In Mag Bay in the Cabo.
Yeah. Wow.
North of Cabo. Oh, it's going off, dude. I mean, going off.
That's crazy.
I think he rigged. What did he tell me he rigged? I think he tied up 700 leaders, and he rigged 400 baits.
Good
to start.
Lord.
That's to start. I think he got there yesterday morning at 6. So they'll fish. They fish yesterday, today, Monday, Tuesday. So they'll fish 4 days. And then they come back up the coast. I think it's about 180 miles from where they're at Los Cabos. And then he fishes in the Bisbee. The Bisbee's, I think, next week.
Yep. It's that time, October. Bisbee's black.
Yeah, that one airs for about 4 million, bro.
That's a big one. Our buddies from Baytown won it that one year, remember? The Eccles and them?
Uh-huh. They're there. The Doombox there. The Angels there. All the big boys are there. Everybody's there. If you're anybody, they bring all them boats up from, Los Sueños and Costa Rica. All them boats on that Pacific coast, most of them are there. I think Greg shipped that boat. I think they shipped it. And they ran it straight up there. They may have shipped it to Cobb. I don't know how it worked. But the new boat, the 72 Merritt, the new Sea Angel, they shipped it across. And I don't know how they ran up there. But they did good in that one tournament. They were right up there in the top 10.
Awesome.
Them boys are good.
Yeah, they are. They've been doing it a long time. They know their business.
They've been doing it a long time. BC, he's good. He's the real deal. He can catch
Billy Chase. He's the man.
Well, he can put them on. Austin can catch them. Austin won Angler of the Year in the Los Sueños tournaments. I don't know how many times. Like, more than 5, I think. He don't miss many.
So well, that's all I got going, brother.
Well, that's good. Well, you have a good day, man, and go Stros, man. What an awesome game. Rhonda started crying at the end. She couldn't hold her emotions. That hit was so big. It was crazy. Astounding.
I was so tired. You know, I talked to you there for a minute while when it first started. And when they tied it up, I said, man, I got to go lay down. So I laid down, turned the TV on, and I went. I could hear her screaming. I'm screaming. So that was big time.
Awesome.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, James. Right, throw them out a number. Somebody wants to call you about going fishing, bud.
All right, buddy. 409-935-7242. Have a good one, bro. I'll talk to you in a little
while. I'm going to do it. All right. Take care, James. See you. Thank you.
All right.
All right. That's Captain James Plogg. Next up, let's go to Randy on two. Randy, what's up?
How are you, sir? Good morning.
I'm good. How are you, Randy?
Oh, kind of like everybody else, just kind of living the day for the Astros. It's something else.
I'm telling you. Great for the city.
Yeah, it really was. I knew something was going to happen. I didn't think I had the feeling that the Yankees weren't going to win. It was our time in the sun. But anyway, so we're getting ready for the, you know, next week. There's a special speckle-belly season up in Arkansas. It's a 4-day season. We'll go up there just for fun and start killing them.
It's that time. It's coming quick.
Yeah, I got two of my guys living up there, and we're showing some awesome pictures of just amazing how many birds are there.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of videos on Facebook and social media and all that, you know, of all the birds, and they're pouring in, man.
Oh, it's, you know, they've moved to that area, and they found everything a goose wants. There's all the food in the world, and, you know, the goose needs four things. That's some, you know, food, water, grit, and solitude, and they pretty much got all four of them right now. You know, there's 1.5 million acres of rice and 3 million acres of soybeans to eat on. So they're like going to all you could eat buffet.
That's it. And people that don't know, you have a hunting operation up there.
Yes, sir. I've hunted in Texas for almost 50 years, and all the birds have pretty much moved up, and we you know, had to follow them. If you're going to goose hunt, you got to have something to hunt. So we moved up there about 3 years ago. And, you know, a lot of people go up there for the conservation season in February. That's how I got started up there. And we're sitting out there with the jukebox going on, and speckled bellies landing in the decoys. And I thought, you know, these things can't be a lot smarter than you know. So we started going up there 3 years ago, and it's when I close my eyes, you think you're in Katy in the 70s or 80s.
Yeah, back in the day, kind of like the way it used to be on the east side over there on my side of town, man. We used to have a lot of geese, man. But we had tons of rice. You know, we had food for them. We don't anymore. Yeah. Changed everything.
All that agriculture's moved up there. You know, the water's so cheap and so much ground available to hunt, to farm, and those birds, you know, and people in Arkansas just don't think much of hunting of geese. So basically have it, to yourself. They're just hardly, I mean, you won't see two goose hunters and two goose spreads the whole day. You know, it's just a different world. Like, I imagine it was the way it was in Eagle Lake in the late 50s or early 60s when the guys started all the big operations there. There's nobody around but them. And the hunting is just like, you know, last year was a bad year, but I mean, it's just been awesome. There's a bird decoy all the way down and act like they used to.
Well, I'm good with that. I wish that wasn't far from my house.
Well, it's about 7-8 hours from, from the outskirts of Houston. I can leave my house in Bay City and be there nonstop in about 9.5 hours.
Yeah.
It's good road all the way. You have 59 to Texarkana, and then you get Interstate 30 and go to Little Rock, and you know it's interstate probably 95% of the time. So, you know, it's not the end of the world. You go up there for 2 or 3 days. It's come back. If you're gonna hunt geese, you got to go where the geese are.
Right. That's exactly right. Just like fishing, got to go where the fish are if you want to catch anything.
Yeah, you can go out there in your bathtub and fish all you want. Probably won't catch a lot.
Oh, you can do all the fishing you want. You just won't catch anything.
Yeah, the fishing always fun. It's just catching won't be much.
But that's it.
It really is different. There's just, you know, the birds act different. There's just nobody bothering them. You know, they don't fly sky high. They're, you know, it's just, they're
relaxed. They're comfortable. They don't get a lot of pressure.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's for sure.
Just like our fish act, when there's a lot of boat pressure and all that, it scatters them out and they don't bite good. But when you go about a week or two and not a lot of boat pressure with bad weather and everything, then first day back on the water, they're just snapping.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like fishing on the birds or something like that. You know, they're,
oh yeah.
You know, they're not nobody bothering them, and everything's good, you know.
Well, your operation up there, do y'all have a lodge or any place for people to stay, or would y'all put them up in hotel rooms or what?
No, sir, we haven't got a lodge. We're working on it, and it's a work in progress. But right now we're just, you know, Jonesboro is a big city there. It's about 80,000 people. So in Arkansas State's right there, so there's lots of hotels, and they're all reasonably priced. And Jonesboro's a nice town. It's sitting on top of a ridge, a real pretty place, but there's the hotels are about all 25-30 minutes from where we hunt, but you know, or it's just not, you know, it's just more convenient to do it that way. And like I said, they're all reasonably priced, and they're like I say, and then we've, you know, through my years of hunting, I've figured out that people don't like putting decoys out, so we just started getting out there about 2 hours earlier and putting all the decoys out, so that all when the hunters get there, all they do is get out of the truck and take them out the field and start hunting.
Cool.
So, you know, that's trudging through the mud and the mud and the blood and the beer and all the it's different than in the fields are, they cut the rice at a different time, and the fields aren't rutted up like they do in Texas, where they cut them late with that second crop rice, where they're usually still wet. And when they cut these fields, they're pretty dry, so you don't have the ruts and all that. And it's just a different type of agriculture. They'll cut it usually with a stripper header that leaves lots of grain, and then they burn the stubble, and that the fire kills the germination in the seed. So they're just all right. The wasted rice is just laying there, and it's like I said, it's a smorgasbord.
Cool deal. Yeah. Well, hey, I got to run. It's break time, and Randy,
yes, sir.
Your last name's Triplett, right?
Yes, sir.
And if somebody wants to call you about doing one of these Jonesboro goose hunts, what's a good way to get a hold of you, man?
832-510-4667.
All right. Well, Randy, good talking to you, and hey, good luck on y'all's 4-day hunt coming up. That sounds like fun to me, bud.
It will be. Thank you, sir.
I know it. All right. Thank you, Randy. See you, man.
Yes, sir.
All
yes,
right.
Sir.
Take care. All right. That's interesting. That's a good place to go to get them, I can tell you that. I used to have a friend that hunted up there a lot that got it up there, and, man, that's just a whole different world. It's kind of like here in the old days. Pretty impressive.
Where does the boat go when it's sick? To the dock. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Rhoda.
Rhoda who?
Row the boat as fast as you can. Got a new fishing pole for my brother. Best trade I ever made.
You're gonna find out what they're biting on from Baffin to Sabine. Big Lake to Matagorda and some places in between.
Hey guys, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
Yeah, good morning. How y'all doing?
We're good, sir.
Hi.
You had never backed a boat in over bicycles or anything, have you?
Not bicycles, but other things, yeah. I hate when you back up and you hear that noise. You go, I wonder what that was.
Yeah.
You got your early morning sickles, living an outdoor dream. They hunting and fishing all the time, and it ain't working. Beats all I've ever seen.
Now, time for more of the Outdoor Show on Sports Radio 610.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this open line fun Sunday morning. 5:39 in the Bayou City as everybody recovers from an unbelievable Astros victory last night. Jeez, what a game. Still can't get it out of my head. I hate to be such a craze fan, but, man, it don't get any better than that. It just doesn't. Well, it's open line Sunday. Give us a call. We got some available now. We're getting caught up. 713-572-4610. That's 713-572-4610. All right, next up out of the chute, let's go to Ray Stanley, see what's up with him. Ray in Highlands, what's up, man?
I guarantee you one thing. That game gave everybody a full range of emotions from beginning to end. When they tied that thing up in the ninth inning, I was busy looking for my lorazepam and hadn't quite found the bottle to pop a few of them. And here comes Altuve and solves the whole issue.
Oh, thank God Springer walked, you know. I was a nervous wreck, you know, because he's just been having a terrible series. And I just knew he was going to strike out at curveballs or sliders in the dirt outside. And like he'd been doing, or ground out or something. It all worked out. It came through. We got the man plate.
Yeah, that was just about, just like I said, that was a full range of emotions from beginning to end. And that we all got our money's worth out of that, and the city of Houston is sure as heck going to get their money's worth out of the deal. So
I'm telling
it's
you.
A win-win for everybody.
Yep.
Well, at least I had yesterday was the day when I had all the dogs bet on, and they bailed me out. And of course, the Astros, they were a dog in that game, so I was already on house money there, so I'm feeling pretty good all the way around.
I bet you are. Heck yeah. It just hey, do you think Joe Buck could come to this town and hey, I've never seen anything like it on social media in all my life. I never saw one good comment about Joe Buck for a whole week. I mean, it was
it's
unbelievable how biased they are, though. That was crazy.
I told you what I did. I switched over to the XM feed, and I didn't listen to them. Well, I did listen to a little bit of their pregame stuff, and that's enough between A-Rod and the rest of those Yankee guys. And, you know, I got it.
Well,
got
you expect A-Rod to be for the Yankees because he played for them. He retired there. But, you
absolutely.
Know, it's, you know, your job is to announce a game and try to be as unpolitical as you can, you know, just, you know, not pick a team, just kind of call it even on both sides. But, I mean, the excuses and everything he was making for them and, oh, gosh. It was
well,
just,
you know, and then Joe Buck's got to walk down the streets of his hometown over there, too. So I got all that, but it didn't make me feel any better. So I just switched over to the XM feed, and I don't believe I listened to one play on TV until last night right at the end. But anyway.
Yeah, where's Jeff Blum when you need him?
Isn't that the truth?
I tell you, there's nothing like home cooking, man.
Getting back to the sporting world, listen to Randy talk about how all the geese have moved to Arkansas and everything, and it never fails to make me remember when, heck, I didn't have to go a half a mile to hunt geese right here where I live.
Oh, I know.
Those days are long gone. These days,
well, look at Tri-City Beach Road where I live out there in Beach City.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I couldn't hardly get. I'd take Mickey Ray and Sean to school, and you got millions of geese on both sides of the highway. That was all rice out there back in the day, and they couldn't even focus on their schoolwork. There were so many geese in the fields every morning, and now you're lucky if you see a flock come over anymore.
You know, there was a big rice field right here at the corner of 2100 and 90 for years,
yep.
And we'd slip over there in the afternoon and get our geese and come home, cook them, do whatever. And, of course, back in those days, the big roosting area was the Highlands Reservoir.
It sure was.
And, I mean, they would flock in there like crazy in the afternoon. It's been years since I've seen that. Because if they're going to be around here, their appetite for rice has got to change. And it's got to have an appetite for St. Augustine grass if they're going to come here. Well, that, you know, every field anywhere, all the rice fields around here are all grass now. They're selling more, they're making more money off St. Augustine grass than they ever made off of rice.
Well, look at the look when you'd run out I-10 going deer hunting, and going through the Katy area, just millions of geese everywhere out, you know, throughout the Katy Prairie. And the same way if you'd go east on I-10, going out through Anahuac and Winnie and Hancomer and all the way over to Port Arthur. It just, but you know, there's so much agriculture in Arkansas now. They're short-stopping all those birds. They're not. They have no reason to come to the coast anymore.
Absolutely no reason whatsoever. I've got a client back when I was still in business, had it was a reserve by the lake apartments, which is out there almost to Katy, in that what they call the energy corridor these days. And I was talking to the little manager one day, showing off about how old I am and all that stuff, and I said, hell, I used to have this as a goose lease, this very property that these apartments are on.
Right.
So anyway, that's the way that goes.
Well, you remember over there off Baker Road in Baytown, you know, back when Garth Road and North Main were pretty much cow trails, just gravel roads heading towards I-10. I mean, that was all solid geese out there off Baker Road, you know, in Sterling High School. Well, it was built right in the middle of rice paddies back in the day.
And I can remember when Garth Road, north of Baker, was still gravel.
Yeah, it was like a cow trail out there, and
absolutely,
there was birds all over the place. We were the big rice belt through here.
Speaking of birds, I guess the birds have started working up in our bays these days. And I was out a little bit last week, and I finally observed that I've managed to box one out of about 10. So
that's pretty good ratio. Those birds have been working there off Cedar Point, around from Houston Point, Cedar Point, in that you can tell which way they were moving every day. They started out kind of towards 5 Mile, all them little juvenile fish, coming back home, moving north. And I think with two parties, 2 days in a row, we worked them and never caught a keeper out of them. And I just told them, I said, boys, there is no sense in doing this, you know, tearing all these little fish up to try and get one keeper out of them. Let's do something else.
Well, if you're fishing right now with your barbs up, you're just not thinking right.
No, you're not, because it just, you know, that's our future, and you got to just leave it alone. Let it take care of itself. Because a lot of those fish will be keepers this spring.
I was going to go out and just peck around at the Umbrella Point wells out there just to check.
Yeah.
And when I came shot through the Cedar Bow cut there coming into Tabs, I just ran into a wall of birds. Well, there wasn't any way I was going to be able to run through them, so I started throwing in there. And I did pick up about one out of every 10.
Yeah,
and which that's 10% better than it's been in the last 3 years.
Five,
that's for sure. But anyway,
people just don't understand what this bay system has been through in the last 5 years.
Mother Nature is doing a good job on it right now, though, because it is changing back rapidly, and I think your prediction about, what is it next year or year after next?
2021 will be a great target year. We'll have a lot of mature fish then. And, you know, a lot of these people don't realize those fish that you're out there weeding through and butchering up and everything. I mean, and you know, fishermen are a little more educated now than before. They don't wrap towels around them or let them flop in the floor and then measure them later. If they'll mash their barbs down and just enjoy the moment, if you just got to catch something, yeah, do that and do it right. But those fish are already spawning fish. They're in sexual maturity.
Oh, yeah.
And just leave them alone. I mean, all they're going to do is make a bunch more babies, and it's going to make it, if everybody can just be patient and wait for a few more years, it's going to make an incredible fishery, you know, putting aside any other disasters of any kind.
You know, if you just put a good pair of needle nose pliers in your boat and just flip them off rather than touch them. And if you do have to touch them, I've got a pair of the good guy monkey gloves, and they seem to be fairly good about keeping them, you know, not hurting them too bad. And
well, you're still handling them though, and if with those gloves, yeah. You're still taking slime off of them. And best thing to do is mash the barb down. You will not lose
and
that fish unless you put slack in your line, and
right.
Get them up by the boat, and you can look at it and tell. You know, that most of them fish are 12 to 14 inches long, and you know, I pretty much have a boat rule. If it ain't 16 inches, we don't even put it in the box. It's not worth the risk.
And you know, those little
trout
those
will
guys.
Shrink on you. They will. Those 15 yeah. and a quarters will shrink, and you know, if you don't believe me, just do it and see and measure them when you get them to the dock. When you get ready to clean them, you'll be surprised how many of them are undersized.
You know, if you'll just roll that jig head up real close to the rod tip, and the way those little guys shake their head so strong that about at least 90% of them are going to come right off of a hook that the barb smashed down on. So, you know, you make a good point. That's the best way to do it. And if they're on there and you can't get them off, just get your needle nose around that shank of that hook and just flip them off.
Right.
But anyway, well, that's all I got from here.
A good pair of pliers will take and mash that barb down good, you know, just flatten it out.
What was that?
A good pair of pliers, you can mash that barb all the way flat against the hook. And
absolutely.
Way you don't stick them. Even if you hook one deep, it won't hurt it.
I saw Dana come through town with his banana boat yesterday, and I was going to try to catch up with him at the car wash. But he slipped on through, and I didn't get a chance to talk to him. I guess they're still hitting them hard down in West Bay, huh?
Yeah, they're fishing down that way. That's where the better fish are, the mature fish, you know, up
yeah.
our way. We got a few keepers, don't get me wrong, but it's
10%.
It's just gonna take, yeah, I'd say probably 2% from what I've seen, you know, all the catching I've been doing.
Right. I don't guess you've thrown a hook out there on those wells to know whether they've come.
Yeah,
back
I have.
There.
You can hit 20 wells, and you'll catch one, and then you'll hit another one, and you may. Well, the last day I hit them, and it was perfect conditions, dead calm, just for well fishing. The water was good. I think I had 3 keepers out of 20 wells that I hit real hard, and I went wade fishing, and there's a lot more fish shallow, you know.
I'm sure that's right, especially with this these tides that we've had. In fact, I just got a notice on my phone just as we were talking about the flood thing down in Galveston.
Coastal flood alert, yep.
So there you go. Well, okay, well, that's it from beautiful downtown Highlands, my man.
All right, Ray. Well, hey, it's good to hear from you. And, man, what a ball game. What a night.
So when do they play again? Tuesday night?
Tuesday night. I think probably be 6 o'clock or 6:30 Eastern time. Our time. And
okay.
At least it'll be earlier games.
What do we know about the Nationals? Anything?
Yeah, they got 3 really good starting pitchers, like we do, and they're a good ball club. So it's not going to be a cakewalk, but. Hey, there's no sweeter victory in the world in baseball than to beat the New York Yankees to get where you need to go. That's
we've already had
that's
we've
two
already
a, had a, our, that's two ALCSs.
We've already had our dessert.
Yeah, that's 2 ACLSs that we've taken from them in 3
yeah.
years. That's, it doesn't
bless
get any sweeter
their hearts.
Than that. Yeah, isn't that something? Altuve really got them back for all those nasty chants they were doing on him. 2 nights ago, it came back to bite him.
Well, wasn't that a low-life deal?
Yeah, it was. That was that's hard to swallow, you know, in the great sport of baseball. I'm so proud of our fans. I don't see any of that kind of activity. That's
nowhere but New York.
I'm telling you. Well, they
but
keep
anyway,
it up there.
Got to go,
keep
brother.
It up there. You got it, Ray. See you, man. Take care.
All right, bye.
All right. That's Ray in Highlands. All right, we do have some phone lines available, 713-572-4610.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.